Thank you, dear ladies. That song does just exactly what every enlightened child of God should do. Take salvation personal, giving the Lord Jesus all the praise for washing us clean in His blood and delivering us from the rightful wrath of God that's coming. He was dying for me. That's a good song. Please turn to the first chapter of James. Let me say this. Friday night, Michael Smith presented a gracious love offering from many of you to Judy and me to help us with our moving expenses. And I do want to express a sincere and loving thank you for your loving concern for us. I didn't realize until I started checking into things how expensive it is to move. And so your generous love offerings is just a tremendous help. Thank you. Now my subject this morning is the word of truth. That's every preacher's subject. Every time we're allowed the honor of preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of truth. Now, if I believe, and I most certainly do, that all sinners must hear the preaching of the gospel before they can experience the miracle of the new birth, then those who are under the preaching of lies, even though they profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, they're still held captive by the power of darkness. God is not saving anybody under the preaching of lies. It's under the preaching of His glorious gospel truths that He sends His Spirit into the hearts of His chosen blood-bought children at His own appointed time, so that they will receive that which gives God all the glory. A man can receive nothing unless to be given to him from above. Words of John the Baptist while he walked here on this earth. And also words from Christ Himself and other places of the Holy Scriptures. Now the Christ of Holy Scripture is the true light that we must see under the preaching of the gospel. And the word of God says, God Himself, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we can't be delivered from darkness until we see that light. Until God does a work of grace in our hearts, we'll love that darkness. We won't come to the light, lest our deeds should be reproved. And so we must hear the gospel. And even then, the truth will be meaningless to us until God gives the increase.
Amen.
When our Lord Jesus, who is the truth, the so-called spiritual leaders over national Israel turned a deaf ear to that truth. That's been the case throughout the history of man. All the prophets of old preached the coming of that great light, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They were representatives of God Himself, and they preached, "Thus saith the Lord," and they better have been 100% correct in what they said. That's how a true prophet was known in the Old Testament. When they said, "Thus saith the Lord," and if what they said didn't come to pass just exactly like they said it, it was a false prophet. But you know what those Old Testament people did to those who preached the truth? And they're without excuse, because those true prophets, when they said, "Thus saith the Lord," what they said came to pass just exactly like they said it. But the so-called spiritual leaders over national Israel turned a deaf ear to that which was true, encouraging the people under their leadership to hate those Old Testament prophets. And many of them were stoned and killed because those people wanted to hear smooth things, lies. They didn't want the truth. And when our Lord Jesus came, who is the truth, those so-called spiritual leaders over national Israel did the same thing right in the face of God our Creator, who walked on this earth in a human body. They did the same thing to Him that they did to the Old Testament prophets. And they encouraged, those spiritual leaders encouraged national Israel, who were unregenerate in their darkened hearts, to turn against the Christ of God who walked amongst them. And they provoked those people, the spiritual leaders of that day provoked those people to turning not only a deaf ear to the teachings of our Lord Jesus, and this is the ironic thing about it, they saw the miracles that He performed right before their very eyes, some of them saying, God has to be with Him in order for Him to do those things. Yet those spiritual leaders turned those people away from the Christ of God. They already had a heart that was hateful toward the truth and toward the true and living God. They provoked those people to shout before the leaders of Israel and before the governor, Pontius Pilate, saying, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him! We will not have this man to rule over us." And then when our Lord Jesus was crucified by their wicked hands, it was the determinate counsel of God and His foreknowledge. God arranged all of that. But when they crucified Him and He rose again and ascended to glory, He sent His apostles out to preach the same gospel the Old Testament prophets preached, the same gospel our Lord Jesus preached, and they took and they martyred the apostles, with the exception of the Apostle John, and history teaches us that they tried to martyr him too, but God wouldn't allow it. And then the early New Testament preachers who were ordained by those prophets, actually ordained by God Himself, under the preaching of those prophets, they martyred them as well. People hate Jesus Christ and they hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is no different. Today is no different than any other generation in the history of man. It's the truth that sets the prisoner free only when it is made effectual by the sovereign power of God Himself. We must hear the truth. We must hear the gospel. But if God doesn't come to us in saving power under the preaching of the gospel, it goes in one ear and out the other, and we don't profit by it. In our text here in James chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, "Of His own will, of God's own will, begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Now this is the word of God. And Pastor Henry Mahan in his Bible class commentary said, "Those who are redeemed from among men are the first fruits unto God. They are preferred and more excellent than all, being made so by the grace of God. So we're the first fruits. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In days of old, when a harvest was coming, God's people took the first fruits of the harvest and presented that as a love offering to God. And that's what the first fruits is referring to. Then our dear brother friend, Pastor Mahan, referred his readers to 1 Corinthians 4:7, which says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" And this goes right along with what I said earlier. A man can receive nothing except to be given to him from above. And verse 17 of James chapter 1 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So every good gift is from God our Father, and Jesus Christ is an unspeakable gift. Is he not a good gift? God gives us his Son, his darling Son, who suffered and bled and died for our sins. He gives him to us under the preaching of his gospel. Of his own will begat he us. Don't overlook these words. With the, well, I quoted just a minute ago. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Yes. It's under the preaching of the gospel. With the word of truth. Now turn with me, if you will, back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Before a child can be born, which is through the process of procreation, I'm talking about a human child being born. Before he can be born, a seed has to be planted from the father. And the mother has to conceive. We read the begats in the Old Testament always refers to the father. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And it's almost a boring reading, but right in the midst of all of those begats, a nugget of truth just jumps out. So we read them. We should read them. But my point is, the begat refers to the father and his seed. Well, the new birth, and our Lord stated very clearly, you must be born again. The new birth has reference to the natural birth. A seed of spiritual truth has to be planted. It has to be watered. But only God can give the increase. Paul referred to that in his first epistle to the church at Corinth. He plainly stated, "Who are we?" referring to him and Apollos. Who's Peter? Just instruments who plant the seeds of spiritual truth, who waters the seeds of spiritual truth, but God himself must give the increase. Contrary to popular belief, the new birth is still a miracle that only God can perform. This religious generation and many religious generations before us, you can go all the way back to Adam for that matter, have reduced the miracle of a new birth to a decision made by man. What blasphemy. What blasphemy. Man contributes absolutely nothing to the salvation of God's elect. Now God has chosen the preaching of his glorious gospel as the instrument he uses to perform that God-honoring miracle of the new birth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Now let me give you some points that I want to bring out in this morning's message that refers to the word of truth. Salvation was purposed by God before time began. Salvation was pictured by God all through the Old Testament. God purchased salvation for a particular people by the finished work of Jesus Christ. God sends his ministers to preach salvation by the merits of Christ alone. God's chosen people possess salvation when we believe in the Christ of Holy Scripture. The salvation of God's elect is permanent, irrevocable. 6 points of gospel truths, purposed, pictured, purchased, preached, possessed, permanent. Now, someone told a minister who was nicknamed Machine Gun Willie, "You preach too fast." And he said, "No, you just listen too slow." I promise I won't take up too much time on these points. I'll try to rush right through them. And if I can't get through all of them, we'll save them for next Sunday, Lord willing. But let's start with this point, and it's a point that today's religionists, the majority of professing Christians, do just exactly what those unbelieving Jews did when Christ preached the truth. They crucified him. This religious generation hates the truth just as much as those people did back then. God himself purposed the salvation of his elect. Salvation is not according to man's will. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of God's own will begat he us with the word of truth. God's our Father. He begat us. We're born again by his power under the preaching of his gospel. And this salvation was purposed by God himself before time began. Let me show you. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 8, Paul, writing under divine inspiration, said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, Timothy, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." I added the word Timothy. You caught that. But that's who he's writing to. But he's writing to his chosen blood-bought people who have been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit as well. This is for me. I'm not ashamed of God's gospel. Are you?
No.
How can we be ashamed of our Lord Jesus, who taught this very truth and gave the truth to his apostles to preach that truth, and to the writers of the New Testament to declare that truth? Don't be ashamed of the doctrine of election. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And we read in verse 9, after declaring that the gospel is according to the power of God, we read, "Who," referring to God, "who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works." Not according to our works. Did you catch that? We didn't contribute anything to this salvation. We discussed this Friday night in our Bible study. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, what does that mean? It means this is the work of God, to believe on him in whom he hath sent. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. We read that in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. It's God himself who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he saved us and called us, and the order is right. Folks, listen. We were saved at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That's when Jesus Christ paid the sin debt in full for all of our sins. That's when he by himself purged our sins from God's sight forever. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Jesus Christ obtained eternal redemption for those his Father gave him in the eternal covenant of grace before this world was created. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. There's no greater display of God's love for his people than that which we see when Christ himself was nailed to that cruel cross 2,000 years ago. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the mercy seat, the supreme sacrifice for the sins of his people. So we were saved when our Lord Jesus took our sins upon himself, became sin for us. It was God the Father who made him sin, became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Salvation is not by chance. Salvation is not by the works of man. Salvation is of the Lord. He saved us and then he called us. So the order is right. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Now folks, listen. I love to preach the gospel. I love to preach the gospel. And I love to see God himself make his gospel effectual. And I've witnessed that for these past 37 years that the Lord has allowed me to be your pastor. Over and over and over again. And I've encouraged you, you're my witness, to give God the glory for delivering you from the power of sin, the power of Satan, the power of darkness, and translating you by his sovereign power into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He calls us with an holy calling. That's God's work. He makes the gospel effectual, giving you a brand new heart to embrace Jesus Christ. Embrace him. Oh, please, embrace the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Testifying before him and before others that your faith is in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ. Yes. Don't let any false preacher dupe you into thinking that you had something to do with your salvation. We're as passive in this matter of the new birth as we were in the matter of the physical birth. We were just as dead spiritually as Lazarus was physically when our Lord Jesus called him out of that tomb after he had been dead for 4 days. So he saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now catch this, verse 9, the latter part, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God purposed our salvation. We just read it right here. And God himself tells us through his prophet Isaiah that what he purposes he will also do. So here we are. Here we are walking on this sin-cursed earth as people through the process of procreation. And that's God's doings. Only God can give life. And we were conceived in our mother's womb by the life-giving power of God himself. So here we are, walking on this earth with physical life, seeing these things that God has created. Heaven itself declares the handiwork of God. No hell-deserving sinner has any excuse not to believe that God himself is our creator. There's the evidence all around you. All around me. All around us. And those who claim to be atheists, but there's no such thing. The Word of God teaches that. They know there's a God by the things that are created. They just don't want him. They want a God of their own imagination. A God they can control. A God they can manipulate. But like we heard in Sunday school this morning, God will not share His glory with another. So all of these people who refuse to believe in the great three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who refuse to believe that in Christ Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is our Creator, who became a man for this very purpose of saving His chosen people, who refuse to believe that He has risen from the grave and is now the sovereign Lord over all of His creation, ruling and reigning as it pleases Him over everything, those people are without excuse. And we were just like them.
Amen.
Until God, by His amazing grace, revealed to us that this great salvation was purposed by Him before the foundation of the world.
Great.
We have nothing, absolutely nothing to glory in but the Lord Jesus. That's what the Word of God teaches us. So it was purposed. But look at verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Paul says in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So here we have the Word of God teaching us that Christ has come. The Messiah has come. All of the Old Testament prophets spoke of the coming of the Messiah. The writers of the Old Testament had the same faith that God has given to us in this generation. There's only one faith. And that faith looks to and always looks to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so He has come. Christ has come. And He did something. He did something that only God can do. He took care of our sin debt. He abolished it. He took care of the death that's waiting for everybody who have sinned against God, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yes.
Brethren, that lake of fire where the wicked would be turned into is the second death. That's the second death. Many were in eternal torment before Christ came. Now let me ask you something. If free will doctrine is true, and it most certainly is not, why didn't God the Father send His Son just as soon as Adam fell and plunged the whole human race into condemnation? What about all of those people who lived and died before Christ came? Only a remnant was saved out from amongst them. In Noah's day, 8 people.
Yes.
Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives were aboard that ark when God brought a flood upon the ungodly. A remnant. But a very small remnant. Why didn't God send His Son right after Adam fell, so that, as the Arminian doctrine teaches, so that all men might have a chance? Salvation is not by a chance. Salvation is by the determinate purpose of God Himself, which He purposed before the foundation of the world. And if God does what He purposed, and He does, we read that in Isaiah, God says, I have purposed it, I will also do it. If God purposed salvation for His people, when all of those people who were not aboard the ark died in the floodwaters of Noah's day, all of those people went to their appointed places. Will you hear me? There's another day of God's wrath upon this whole world coming. Not by floods, not by water, but by His righteous judgment against all those who refuse to believe the record He has given of His darling Son that's recorded on the pages of Holy Scripture. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus Christ delivered His chosen people from the wrath that's coming by His substitutionary death at Calvary 2,000 years ago. The church at Thessalonica heard the gospel, and those who believed the gospel gave proof of their election, gave proof that God had chosen them by the gospel coming in power upon those who believed. And they knew, and it's recorded in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, they knew God had delivered them from the wrath to come, and they were waiting patiently on the second coming of Christ, praising Him for delivering them from God's coming wrath. We have absolutely the same God-given faith they had if we've experienced the miracle of the new birth. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Have you heard the truth? Are you set free from darkness? Our Lord Jesus is seated on His throne in glory, and He holds all the keys in His sovereign hand. And He comes to those who are under the preaching of His glorious gospel, and by His power, He unlocks the prison door of unbelief, delivering us from the same sinful trap that all of those who will spend eternity in hell are still in. He has set us free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
And here's what we, as His chosen blood-bought children, are obligated to do. Give Him all the glory.
Amen.
For this unspeakable gift, eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. I rejoice in the fact that not one thing can be made to my charge. Not one thing can be laid to my charge. Not one thing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. We read that in the 8th chapter of Romans. Why is that? Why is it that not one thing can be laid to the charge of God's elect? God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Brethren, we're free. We're free. We're free from Satan's power. Free from sin's power. I'm not saying that we don't sin. We still do. But sin doesn't have dominion over us. We have weaknesses in the flesh. We do things we shouldn't do. We have wrong thoughts. But Jesus Christ, in the life of His chosen blood-bought child, who's been enlightened by God Himself under the preaching of the gospel, He, Christ Jesus our Lord, has the preeminence in our lives. We want to walk as children of light. We want to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. We can't, not perfectly, but we want to. That's our desire. If we could, we would never sin again. But I'm telling you the truth on the authority of God's word. God does not see any sin in you, Donna. He doesn't see any sin in you, Polly. He doesn't see any sin in you, John. He sees all of his chosen people who were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ in Christ himself, seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Sees us in him without sin. Does that bless you? How many points do I have left? Let's wait for next Sunday before we deal with the rest of this subject. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And I'll try to be a little bit more, I don't know the word, not be so long in bringing out these points, be a little faster in preaching them. I'm not Machine Gun Willie. I didn't preach too fast. I just didn't preach all of what I intended to preach this morning. But I believe I have brought before you enough truth to lay this to heart for the glory of Jesus Christ our Savior. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And if we believe what I preached this morning, we can sing this closing hymn with joy in our hearts. It is well with my soul. Brother John, please.